March 23rd, 2010. Living and Dying with Honor, Bible Study Lesson Number 140. Within that series, we have the secondary series that's running parallel. Obey God or Man, Bible Study Lesson Number 50. We're dealing with the Adamic culture, which is the culture that runs among the average person in the world. People who want to live, survive in this material world, they're caught up in the material world. They're either committed to the service of God directly or to the service of Satan, or they serve Satan indirectly and don't know it. Their lives are caught up in the mundane of survival, what they can do in this materialistic world, what they can get. Many people are shook up. The West America change. I probably received more emails yesterday in reaction to my opinions of the passing of the health care bill by the United States federal government in a long time. So I emailed a number of pastors yesterday and simply told them, I said, hey, you know, we've had the Great Depression, we've had the World War II, Korean Red Chinese War, that's the correct name for it, Vietnam Southeast Asian War, again, the correct name for it. We've had many catastrophes and calamities in our time. Our people, the Great Dust Bowl of the 1930s. We've seen many pieces of legislation that we believe were unconstitutional. Some of them directly evil that have been passed in the day and age in which I've lived. We've watched America change from a free society it once was. Our bureaucrats can tell businesses what they can put in their donut, what kind of fat they can put in their donut, because it's healthy, they say, or unhealthy. All kinds of changes have gone on in America. But we should not be surprised, because this is the history of a world system in which they're trying through the concept of cultural evolution to control man. And actually behind the scenes, Lucifer, also known as Satan, the devil, the old dragon, the serpent, is manipulating and preparing the way for the coming day of his man, the Antichrist. But John wrote in 90 AD and said, in 92 at the latest, the spirit of Antichrist is already among us. The demonic spirits that will serve him are already free and running around in the world system. We need to wake up, look up our hope, draw at nine, and come to understand what's going on. I hope this doctrine will help you to do so. Before we begin, let's pause for silent prayer to give you time to make sure you're on the filling of the Spirit. You have absolute objectivity teaching of the Word of God. Shall we pray? Our God and Father, we thank you for the privilege of teaching your Word, for your Word is absolute truth. We claim your promise, your Word will not return, but it will accomplish what you designed it for. We ask you to sanctify it and bless the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen. We're dealing with the category of the Adamic culture, the signs of the time. We won't repeat all the principles, but we'll run quickly through the 14 points we've previously given you. The first one was a sign of man being forced to work exceedingly hard just to provide for his wife, his children, and himself the very basic necessities of life, food, shelter, clothing, and security. Genesis 3:17-19a. 2, the sign of men placing high value on their wife's ability to be the mother of many children. Genesis 3:20. 3, the sign of the feminist movement with the woman usurping the leadership role in spiritual issues, which began with Eve in the Garden of Eden, when she took upon herself to instruct the serpent, found in Genesis 3:2a. 10, 3. For the sign of the satanic questioning concerning the truth of divine revelation, divine truth, Genesis 3, 3. For the sign of satanic direct attacks upon the Word of God, Genesis 3, 4. Sex, the promotions of the satanic lie that man can become the equal of God, Genesis 3, 5. 7, the sign of emphasis upon the nutritional value of certain foods, instead of accepting the fact that the Father created all food for good when properly eaten in moderation, Genesis 3, 6a. 8, the sign of emphasis upon aesthetic beauty is guaranteeing spiritual and temporal value, Genesis 3, 6b. 9, the sign of the false concept that shortcuts exist, the obtaining of knowledge and the converting of it into wisdom, Genesis 3, 6c. 10, the sign of the adoption of relative morality as a personal norm and standard, Genesis 3, 6d. 11, the sign of situation ethics as a replacement for the mandates of the Word of God, Genesis 3, 6e. 13, the sign of giving honor to animals which were created lower than man that belongs to our Creator God, Genesis 3, 6, compared to 1 Timothy 2, 14b. 12, the sign of false modesty. I'm sorry, I've got my numbers out of place here. Just a minute. Just caught that. That should have been point 12, the sign of giving honor to animals which were created lower than man. The honor belongs to our Creator God. And 13 would be the sign of false modesty within a marriage, Genesis 3, 7a, compared to 2, 24, and 25. 14, the sign of good human good in which people try to do something on their own to cover up their sins, Genesis 3, 7b. 15, the sign of avoiding places where the Word of God is preached and therefore they think they can hide from God, Genesis 3, 8. That brought us down to point 16. The sign of blaming others for the sins we commit, Genesis 3, 9 to 13. He said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and hid myself. He said, who told thee that thou was naked? Christ challenges him. Who told you this? Who have you been talking to? Who has advised you? Who is your counselor? Who is your mentor? I hear so much today about how Christians, men particularly, need to regain their masculinity by hanging out with other men. Men need to determine how far they can go and make it with the help of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Certainly it helps to have friends. Certainly it helps to have people you can depend on in time of need. When you find yourself in isolated situations, as we've done many times, and we needed help and there was no one you could depend upon, no one you could ask, so you got to keep going. Is Christ who said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. When I think of the men that I've known that were held in prisoner of war camps and what they went through, some of them spent years in isolation at different times, I come to realize the issue is we've got to quit blaming society, we've got to quit blaming others, we've got to learn to stand with Jesus Christ and stand alone. I taught the doctrine some almost 40 years ago, the doctrine of standing alone. He said, who told you that thou was naked? Then he says, hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree and I did eat. He blames Eve. And indirectly he blames God because he says, the woman whom you gave me. And that God said, the woman, what is this that thou hast done? The woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. 5, you know, so that's kind of on tape. All right, some principles. Adam blamed his wife, and then he blamed the son. God the son for having given him a wife. Adam blamed his wife, and then he blamed God the son for having given him a wife. Eve blames the serpent. Neither Adam nor Eve were prepared to take responsibility for their own sins. Once upon a time, society in general tried to place the blame on wicked women for seducing innocent men to commit sexual sins. It was called the Scarlet Letter. Today, society in general places the blame on the man, excuses the woman when they've been involved in sexual sins. Mosaic law, the law declared that both the man and the woman were guilty when they became involved in adultery. Leviticus 20:10. The man committed adultery with another man's wife, even he committed adultery with his neighbor's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be put to death. Deuteronomy 22:22. Your husband, they both shall die, both the man that lay with the woman and the woman, so shall they be put away evil from Israel. Adultery is a Mormon standard in America today. I recently was involved in a discussion, people were talking about some of the things that's happened while man has been demasculated in America, the emasculation of man. They were blaming how it was. I told them it was interesting. I said, men don't usually pay as much attention to Hollywood women. Do men pay attention to the sports world? Yet they think nothing of the jocks that are involved in drug addiction, promiscuity, adultery, even homosexuality, they buy them at all. Because they play for the local team. They're good. We need them to win championships. I found that I was not, my comments were not appreciated by anybody in the room. All these men that were in this particular room were not interested in what I had to say on the sports section. I love sports. But I'm not blind to what's going on out there. We've taught our children to admire men who are losers. Why don't we teach them to admire winners? Why don't we point them to the people who pay the price on the field of battle, combat, when they really accomplish something? What do we have real heroes anymore that count? Instead of media promoted sports icons, entertainment figures, actors and all. What 17. The sign of the man that the Antichrist as the seed of serpent will appear on this earth and have his head crushed by Christ at the second advent. Jesus 3:15a, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed, it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel, it shall bruise thy head. Principal Satan bruised the heel of Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane when the devil tried to kill him before the Father's time for him to die and atone for sin. Sweat drops of blood came out. Satan did not put Christ on the cross. God used evil men. It was part of a satanic plan, but Satan tried to get him off the cross. He had the people say, come off his cross and we'll worship you. Because he realized suddenly they came to him full understanding Christ was offering himself as the perfect substitute for sin. In the Garden of Gethsemane, when sweat drops of blood came out, he struggled in the Passion of Gethsemane. Satan bruised the heel of Christ. He cried, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me, but nevertheless, not my will, mine be done. 1:18. The sign of denying that the Father set the Son by virgin conception as a seed of woman to make atonement for the Adamic human sin, Christ's first advent. 3:15, I'll put enmity between me and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. Shall bruise thy head, thou shalt bruise his heel, the promised Redeemer. Press when all those who reject dispensational theology and want to let misinterpret prophecy and deny the fact that Christ will personally deal with Satan at the second advent. The second advent, the Lord Jesus Christ is personally going to deal with Satan. Thus the Lamb enters and denies the second advent of the Lord Jesus Christ, and offers the opportunity for him to conquer Satan at that time. Postmillennialism says that Christ will not return until the church has conquered the world, and therefore denies the need for Christ to deal with Satan at some future date and time. The denial is there. The attempt to whitewash and cover up, leaving the satanic lie. Point 19, the sign of sorrow and childbirth, Genesis 3:16a. The woman said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception, sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. The changing state of the woman came about. Multiple conceptions. Motherhood linked with sorrow were the first two. Point 21, the sign of the independent wife, i.e. the sign of superwoman. Genesis 3:16b says, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, he shall rule over thee. The headship of the man, Genesis 1:26 and 27. The interest of sin, which is a disorder, makes necessary headship and is vested in man. 1 Timothy 4:11-14. Christ, they will marry, having damnation because they have cast off the first faith. And they lose their salvation. They put themselves in a judgment because they're too interested in material world. They've abandoned their spiritual duties. And with all, they learn to be idle, running from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also, and busybodies, speaking things which they are not. I will therefore that the young woman marry, bear children, guide her up the house, give not occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully, for I will turn aside after Satan. The getting of the woman to lead her away from what God would have her to do. Ephesians 5:22-25. Wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands unto the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, let the wives be their own husbands and everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. 1 Corinthians 11:7-9. Well, now indeed I like to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of man, for the man is not the woman, but the woman of the man. Then was a man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. For this cause all the woman have power in the head, because angels. Nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man. For as the woman is of the man, even so is the man also by the woman, but all things are of God. God has a plan. The plan includes the woman in general, men and women married. Marriage is out of style today. I'm pretty shocked at the number of men that I meet these days who are Christian men words. Some of them are very active in church work, among other things. They are living at home with their parents, 25, 30, 35, 40 years old. That used to be an oddity. Today it's becoming common. Part of it may be the economy. Part of it is the fact that we have failed to teach masculinity, and the man has been demasculated. So many young men are interested in remaining children, playing video games, skateboarding at 40 years of age. They're involved in athletics. You want to go skateboarding, that's your business. But quit acting like a teenager all the time and grow up and take some responsibility. The woman has become independent. Why? Because she doesn't see the man as the man anymore. The Father's divine judgment includes the need for every woman to find soul and body fulfillment in marriage because of an insatiable desire for a husband who would be a leader in the home. The Father's divine judgment includes the need for every woman to find soul and body fulfillment in marriage because of an insatiable desire for a woman, for a husband, who would be the leader in the home. This person in the late 20th and early 21st century has produced the woman who wants it all. Career, children, financial security as her means to happiness and not happiness through marriage. The person when she demands, she demands a 50-50 division of responsibility, the right to have her own space, free time, away from her husband, children to be with her friends. Go their own way, do their own thing. Nothing wrong with having females having female friends. Nothing wrong with going out to lunch together, doing things like that together. My wife paid the price, I should say, for having married me. Because I teach the Word of God without apology. Then a lot of people avoid me. And by avoiding me, they avoid my wife. And she's missed out in the area of having some close female friends in certain times. She said some at times, at times she hasn't. Mainly because having ministers and stuff doesn't get with the things we have, she hasn't had the time to fit into the cliques of this world. She'd love to go out and do some shopping with ladies, but usually the lady either wants to dominate everything and won't let her do the shopping herself, or has to be done totally on their terms. There are values and balance in life. But when I see women taking their own vacations, husbands taking their own vacations, each one's got their own effects and doing their own things all the time. And I see problems in the marriage, and I see a failure to see the reality. I see people in the Adamic culture living under the concept of the Jewish Confederation, where every man did that which was right in his own eyes. We have to learn to grow up. 122, the sign of pets is a substitute for marriage. This is 2:18-20. Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him. Now the ground of the Lord God formed every beast of the field, every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave name to all the cattle and to the fowls of the air and to every beast of the field, but for Adam there was not found a helpmeet for him. Verse 22. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought unto the man. Adam said, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. The values and sanctity of marriage is lost. First you lose masculinity, and then of course the marriage is destroyed. I just completed reading a biography of a man, a high-ranking military officer, a great American hero in many ways. But after many years, his first marriage dissolved. They'd been through many things together. because he can be wounded in combat and all kinds of things, but the marriage dissolved. He has a little reason for the dissolving of the marriage in his book, but I came to a conclusion myself. His wife left him because he was married to the United States military first and foremost, and to his wife secondly. Now this happens in military service when you're a career military person, I understand that. It's a rough road to hoe. It's a rough road to hoe. But sometimes the drive for promotions, the drive for things can cost them. And I've seen many of their marriages dissolve. One of the other things I've just also reading, I'm reading the second of the two biographies of Roy Benavidez. Actually, I read the second one first this time, I'm reading the first one. But an honor recipient that President Reagan gave for operations in Cambodia that he did not receive until Reagan became President of the United States. A Mexican American raised in El Capo, Texas. On the border. Basically a 7th grade dropout from high school, or from junior high school, middle school, elementary school. Most of the time he never completed grades, he says in his biography, Medal of Honor. He just moved them on as they fit back in when they came back, because he would spend the spring in Colorado as they went there following to work with the beet crops and be back in Texas and working into September doing cotton crops. But from all I can read, he's a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, and he was a practicing Roman Catholic till the day he died, from all I can read also. I do know he was under the influence to a certain extent of a pastor that I personally knew down in Texas who was a born-again believer in Jesus Christ. And he states in his book, I Believe in Christ. Talked about how God saw him through some things. I think he was born again. But this Mexican culture and the concepts that they had, his wife stood by him. Twice basically left for dead on the field of battle. Well, off the field of battle, I should say, for dead, though. Tremendous American patriot. He paid a tremendous price. It was interesting. His wife stood by him. Through it all. Where's the dedication till death do we part? Where's the priorities of life? We need to look and see what we're losing. Pets don't cut it. Whatever this marriage is, one wife at a time or one husband at a time don't cut it either. Always thinking the grass is greener on the other side. I thank the Lord every day for my wife. One more day with her. We need to get our priorities in line. We need to grow up. Keep moving forward in the plan of God. 1:23. The sign of seeking to expand the length of life and find some means of avoiding death. Genesis 3:19b. He says, "Where thy bowels shall I eat bread till I return unto the ground, for out of it was I taken, and dust thou art, and to dust I shall return." The universal nature of man creates a desire to avoid death because it will cease to exist when the believer dies and will lose his power. The latest lust trends when the unbeliever dies. The earth has been cursed for man's sake. It is better for fallen man to battle with a reluctant earth than to live without all. But sorrow carries with it the inevitable sorrow that comes from life. Adam assumed the light occupation of Eden in Genesis 2:15, James and the burdensome labor in verses 18 and 19 of Genesis chapter 3, and then physical death in verse 19. He suffered spiritual death immediately. Physical death took 930 years. Principal medical science seeks ways to overcome disease, which exists within society as a result of some evil, so they can extend life. The length of life has been extended to some small extent in recent years, but not the quality of the extended life. Terrible people have given their money to people and organizations that promise to preserve their heads, and sometimes their bodies left to wander among will find a way to restore the dead to life. It will not happen. It will not happen. The whole idea. I just read about some place where they're keeping a body on ice in hopes of someday doing their own version of the same, where they're freezing the head. What do they call that? Great Major League Baseball player's head was frozen. Decapitated head was frozen. They think they're going to bring him back someday. No. His opponent on the man was to die and after death, the judgment. There will be a resurrection in the life and a resurrection in the damnation. The word of God is spoken. We need to get our priorities in line right. We need to see and understand this. 424 is a sign of not wearing fur. Fur is under attack. All the animal rights groups. This is 321. And Adam also and his wife to the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them, the type of Christ made righteous, a divinely provided garment. The first sinners might be fit for God's presence. To have the coat of skins, they had to kill the animal. Possibly the son slaughtered two animals, lambs, and taught Adam the doctrine of sacrificial offerings. We have the clothing there in Genesis 3:21, showing the righteous God provides. We compare that with chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain. Said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. And she began bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. In the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. He brought an offering. He brought it to a specific place. Cain, the name means acquisition, is a type of the mere man on the earth. His religion was destitute of any adequate sense of sin or need of atonement. The religious type is described in 2 Peter chapter 2. Where seven things are said of him, he worships in self-will, is angry with God, refuses to bring the sin offering, murders his brother, lies to God, becomes a vagabond, is nevertheless the object of divine solicitude. But that would Hebrews 11, 1-4. Now faith is the substance of things so far, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it being dead, yet speaketh. Possibly the son dressed Adam and Eve in lamb's fur to teach them the doctrine of divine covering of the soul with righteousness. Therefore, the possibly attacks on the wearing of fur is something new in the world outside of certain demon influence countries where polytheistic religion promotes the lie of reincarnation. You can't wear fur, and people go around and attack people with fur, spray stuff on their clothes and things to try to destroy their furs. Bleeding hearts who worship the animal, and the animal now, they want to talk about animal rights. Not to abuse the animal, but God put the animal there for our food, for clothing and all. Too bad. Yeah, the way I think that we would be a lot healthier. We to wear more natural clothing and less synthetic clothing. America needs to get back in the cotton industry and get back into the textile industry and take that cotton and make clothes of cotton. We need to get back to wearing leather jackets made out of real leather, skins of cow. We need to get back to wearing furs and doeskin coats and things like, oh, you don't love the gentle animals, you're so evil. Let me tell you something, if it's not in the will of God and you call it evil, you're evil. It's time to forget being politically correct, start getting right with the word of God. See, heaven's coming up for me pretty soon. God's took care of me all these years. I may not have a lot, and you may think my little ministry is a shoe-stain, rinky-dink ministry. That's all right. I thank God for any kind of ministry. I don't deserve nothing. I deserve hell. Everything I have is grace. I teach grace. Political correctness in America, saturated by the false concepts of secular humanism and the lie of cultural evolution. The word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even dividing asunder the soul and spirit, and joins the marriage, discerning the thoughts, the intents, and the heart. All scriptures God breathed and given for doctrinal teaching, for proof, for correction, for instruction, rights, the man of God may be complete. Thoroughly furnished in all good works. Hebrews 4:12 or 2 Timothy 3:16-17. The word of God is the issue, not what you think, not what I think. What saith the word? This is what we need to get down to. 1:25, the sign of trying to return to the utopia of the Garden of Eden. Genesis 3:22-24, and the Lord God said, behold, that man has become one of us to know good and evil. There's sarcasm there. Knowing good and evil, he doesn't make us equal to God. That's divine sarcasm. Man has put forth his hand and take also the tree of life. Lest he put forth his hand and take also the tree of life and eat and live forever. In other words, perpetuate himself in his diabolical sinful state. Therefore, the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. He was exiled. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubim and a flaming sword, which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. He barred man from the Garden of Eden. Principles. The Son needed the Father and the Son. The Father and the Son knew that man would seek to live forever in his sins if he could gain access to the tree of life in the midst of the Garden of Eden. The Son banished Adam and Eve from the Garden of Eden and placed cherubims at the gate to prevent entry. Remember, it was the Son that appeared each time to them because no man had seen the Father. The Garden of Eden was destroyed in the flood, and the tree of life now grows in the New Jerusalem in the third heaven. Well, that's from Revelation 21. Man has sought to return to the Garden of Eden by environmental crusades to restore a perfect environment, legislation to try to prevent deaths by accident, peace treaties to try to prevent deaths, and war and medical research to prevent aging and natural deaths. I repeat, man has sought to return to the utopia of the Garden of Eden by environmental crusades to restore a perfect environment, legislation to try to prevent deaths by accidents, peace treaties to try to prevent death and war, and medical research to prevent aging and natural death. Point 26. Some of these 26 signs, actually 25 signs, some of these 25 signs have existed for 6,000 years, while others are the result of modern education, modern movement. But all of them in their totality are unique to our time and history. First of all, the totality of these 25 Adamic culture signs and their impact upon modern living clearly implies the soon return of the Lord Jesus Christ to claim his mystical body and bride. Alright, this brings us to the overview of what life is in the Adamic culture. The Adamic culture was founded by Adam at the moment he suffered spiritual death through disobedience to God, Genesis 3, 6, and 7. And the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise. And she took of the fruit thereof and did eat. And knew also their husband with her, he did eat, and the eyes of them both were open. And they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together to make themselves aprons. It was fought upon intentional disobedience to God, Romans 1, 19 to 23. Because that which may be known of God has shown itself for them, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination. Their foolish hearts were darkened, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And changed the glory of the incorruptible God to an image made like an incorruptible man and the birds and the four-footed beast and creeping things. First Timothy, chapter 2. Excuse me. Verse 14, Adam was not deceived, but the woman, being deceived, was in the transgression. As a result of Adam's original sin, Satan had won a military tactical victory in the spiritual warfare of the angelic conflict. Fellowship between Adam and his God had been destroyed. Adam was overwhelmed by the guilt of sin, the reality of divine judgment that now hung over his head. Adam's spiritual redemption secured his eternal salvation, Genesis 3:15, with verse 21. And I'll put enmity between the thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, it shall bruise thee, and thou shalt bruise his heel. The promise of the coming Redeemer. Verse 21, unto God also, unto Adam also, and to his wife, to the Lord God, make coats of skins and clothe it. The coats of skins, we point out, were the type of Christ made in the righteous and divinely provided garment that the first sinners might be fit for God's presence. However, did not restore Adam to his sinless experiential state in which he had lived before the fall. When the son exiled Adam and Eve from the kingdom of Eden, Genesis 3:23-24, we just read you a few minutes ago, Adam entered into a world of hard labor, Genesis 3:17-19:8. Those unbelievers alike would have to work hard to obtain the necessities of life. Where Christians never comprehend the awful reality shock that Adam received when he discovered that he was not going to suffer instant physical death. Instead, he was going to endure personal hardships and suffering for the remainder of his physical life. Adam was saved, but temporal living was hard. John Owen, in his Biblical Theology of the History, the Theology from Adam to Christ, 1661, says, the doctrine of God with regard to himself, his works, his will, his worship, as well as required obedience, our future rewards and punishment, all is revealed by God himself in the glory of his name. This is the word of God. This is theology. We must take our understandings, interpretations only from theology, only from the Word of God. Not from the opinions of men. All right, we see that Adam was saved, Genesis 3:23-24. Scripture declared that God had spiritual prophets from the beginning, Luke 1:69-70. And raised up the horn of salvation, dressed in the house of his servant David, spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began. Acts 3:21. Whom the heaven sins must receive until the time of restitution of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. The prophets communicated spiritual truth in a spiritually dark world. Therefore, Adam was the first spiritual prophet. He would have also been the first patriarchal priest. Someone had to have instructed Cain and Abel on how to bring their sacrifices. Abel's sacrifice was accepted, Hebrews 11:4. By faith, Abel offered up to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it being dead, yet speaking. Cain's offering was rejected, Genesis 4:3-5. In the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord, and Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord cried unto Cain, Why art thou wrong? And what is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, thou shalt thou not be accepted. If thou doest not well, sin. Literally, the sin offering lieth at the door, and of thee shall be thy desire, and they shall rule over him. Now, Cain's sacrifice was rejected. When God the Son confronted Cain for not bringing the correct mandated sacrifice, he refused to acknowledge that he was a sinner in need of a Savior. Verse 4 shows that Abel brought the right sacrifice. Cain brought the wrong sacrifice. In verse 7, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. If thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. For the sin offering, in the Hebrew, the same word is used for sin. The sin offering is emphasized in a remarkable way the complete identification of the believer's sin with the sin offering. It's taught in John 3:14 and 2 Corinthians 5:21. Here both means that again the sin lieth at the door, but also a sin offering croucheth at the tent door. It is where sin aboundeth that grace is much more abound, Romans 5:20. Abel's offering implied a previous instruction, Genesis 3:21, for it was by faith, Hebrews 11:4, and faith is taking God his word. So Cain's unbloody offering was a refusal of the divine way, but Jehovah made a last appeal to Cain, Genesis 4:7, even yet to bring the required offering. Cain and murdered Abel, Genesis 4:8. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel and slew him. First John 3:12, we read. Now as Cain, he was a wicked one, and slew his brother Abel, wherefore he slew him, because his own works were evil, and his brother's were righteous. Now, the Son confirmed Abel once more to allow him to live an unsaved rebel against God. Sorry, take a drink of coffee from my throat. Alright, Cain was allowed to live. However, the Son banished Cain from the altar of God, exiled him from the Adamic kingdom, verses 10-15. And he said, What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground, and now I am cursed from the earth, which is open her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall henceforth yield unto thee. Their strength, a fugitive and a vagabond, shalt thou be in the earth. And Cain said to the Lord, My punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and in the face shall I be hid, and I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond here to spend the past. Everyone that finds me shall slay me. Again, this verse clarifies for us that Adam had had many sons during the 129-year period between the birth of Cain and the time of what we have here. unto him. Therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold, and the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any fighting him should kill him. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. Alright, when Cain went out, he took his wife with him, and Cain knew his wife, and she conceived by Enoch, and he built her the city, and called the name of the city after the name of his son Enoch. Alright, now, Cain departed and took his wife with him in exile. He lost spiritual truth. He took children with him, obviously, because building a city when one son was born implies that he already had a large family gathered around him enough to build a town, village, or city. Logical deduction leads us to believe that Cain was born 9 months after the fall. Genesis 4:1, Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and I've gotten a man from the Lord. Jewish tradition is that his wife was his twin sister. Multiple births were part of the judgment the son had given to Eve for her part in Adam's original sin, Genesis 3:16. And thy wife, woman, he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow, thy conception sorrow shall thou bring forth children. Multiplication of sorrow and childbirth, meaning the multiplication of births were there. Well, this also goes to 1 Timothy 2:15. Notwithstanding, she that's Eve shall be saved in childbearing, the continuing faith and charity, holiness and sobriety, to as the woman based upon Eve. Verse 13 says, for Adam was formed in Eve, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman was deceived, as Eve was deceived in transgression. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith and charity, holiness and sobriety. Childbearing, the suffering of childbearing, was a reminder of the curse upon the woman. Modern medicine has tried to remove the curse at childbirth from the woman. But we have so many cesarean sections these days. Trying to remove the suffering of childbirth. Adam was also believed to have married his twin sister. The Hebrew text seems to indicate that Cain and Abel were twins, and therefore his first pregnancy male had resulted in 4 children. The number of children Adam and Eve produced in 129 years period before Cain. However, as a result of multiple births, there might have been quite a few of them. Many of the second generation may have already had children. We realize that in 120 years, they could be down to the third generation having born children. There are 40-year periods for generations. Adam and Eve could have bore children every year for 129 years. The body was strong. So they had not taken its full toll yet. We don't know. And multiple births. Apparently, 4 births at the beginning for her the very first year. She bore children 100 years out of the 129. If she had at least 2 children every one of those years, they've already bore 200 children or more. We don't know. And their children could bear children. Now, after Cain went into exile, the son was born. He immediately built a city and founded a kingdom. Verses 16 and 17, Cain knew his wife, she conceived and bare Enoch, and he built a city and called the name of the city after the name of his son Enoch. This implies that their grandchildren, perhaps some of his siblings and their children, found him in exile. And his wife and his children abandoned many of his siblings and their children remained behind in the Adamic kingdom. Approximately 9 months after Cain in exile, Eve bore a son named Seth, Genesis 4:3. Genesis 5:3. And Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own image, likened his own image, and called his name Seth. Adam lived for 800 years, and Eve bore him an unknown number of additional children, Genesis 5:4. Days of Adam after he had begotten Seth were 800 years, and he begat sons and daughters. The age of 500, Noah fathered 3 children, Genesis 5:32. And Noah was 500 years old, and Noah begat Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Undoubtedly, Adam and Eve had several hundred children, perhaps even 1,000 more grandchildren. Obviously, many of them were never saved. The Proverbs 4:12 says there's a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. At the birth of Seth, Eve understood that the promise of future coming of the Redeemer would be through the line, through his line, Genesis 4:25a. For God of the and Adam knew his wife again, she bare a son called his name Seth, for God says she hath appointed another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. God the Father had designated then Seth to be Abel's replacement. The Father knows them from the beginning, and therefore they made this decision during the dispensation of triune Godhead, also known as Alpha, pre-creation eternity, included in his divine decree, Isaiah 46:9-10. Isaiah 46:9-10. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, there is none else, I am God, there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning, information time, the things that are not yet done, say, my counsel shall stand, I will do all my pleasure. The Father knows the end from the beginning. He gave it clear everything in his decreed will. The divine decree went forth from his will. Nothing in Scripture implies that this was his firstborn son. We do not know for sure, but we know that Enoch's birth was the start of a spiritual revival within the Adamic kingdom, Genesis 4:26. And to Seth also there was born a son. He called his name Enos, and he began to call upon the name of the Lord. This does not imply that no one had been saved for 100 years, but it clearly teaches that the majority of the people were still unsaved. Apparently, at this time, Seth stepped forward and became the spiritual leader. And that revival came to the Adamic kingdom. The redeemed seemed to follow Seth at this point. He undoubtedly founded his own kingdom. About this time, the kingdom of Seth was the first clan nation to God on earth, established to provide spiritual truth to the dark and the darkness system that had come over the Adamic human race, Romans 1:18-23, which we read earlier in the class. Cain's kingdom was a clan nation of Satan, Genesis 4:16-21. We'll study that individually. Seth's kingdom was a source of divine truth. Genesis 5 is the line of theological truth, not unto Seth to Noah. Again, we have a warning in Proverbs 16:25 or 14:12 is repeated. There is a way that seemeth right to man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Adam had been given a natural knowledge of Creator God, and his will to be obeyed in the worship of God required a man a state of experiential sinless innocence. Genesis 2:7-25 with Romans 1:19-20. God had placed signs in the heavens, Genesis 1:4. And God saw the light. It was good, and God divided the day from the night. Put that with verse 14. God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs, for seasons, for days, and for years. This was a part of natural theology. Psalm 19:1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament of his handiwork. Adam possessed experiential sinless innocence, however, God had given him a mandate not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Genesis 2:17. For the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, from the day thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. Learning in the Hebrew, dying thou shalt surely die. Therefore, he had theoretical definition and knowledge of sin and evil. Sin was disobedience to his Creator God. He knew he was sinning when he disobeyed God, 1 Timothy 2:14 teaches. Adam clearly knew he was under a mandate to obey his Creator God or pay the price. The Adamic culture was founded by Adam the moment he suffered spiritual death. What does it represent? The words of the preacher Ecclesiastes 1:1-4, the son of David, the king of Jerusalem. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, vanity of vanities, many, all is vanity, many, empty of empties, empties, all is empty. What profit the man of all labor, which he taketh under the sun? One generation passes away, another generation cometh, but the earth abideth forever. Ecclesiastes 1:1-14. J. Vernon McGee in his Through the Bible, Proverbs 2, Malachi, 1982. The word vanity here speaks of emptiness. It is to waste a life without any purpose or goal. It means to live like an animal or bird lives. There are so many people who live like that. Between the murder of Abel and the birth of Enos, the Adamic kingdom developed out of the Adamic culture. The Adamic culture is centered in the materialistic world. Man becomes occupied with temporal life and believes that as long as he is doing the best he can, God will be satisfied with him. Man lives day by day. He seeks his enjoyment of material things and loses the true concept of eternal state. He is not interested in having a relationship with God. Romans 3:9-12 teaches this. Individual freedom, marriage, family, national government are the societal basis for philosophy. Our next class, we will go through Ecclesiastes 1:5-9 and see what the trends are for the people who live in the Adamic culture who live for the material world only. Father, we thank you for teaching your word, for your word is absolute truth. Again, we claim your promise it will not return void. We'll accomplish all you designed for, sanctified and blessed. We ask in the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and even so come, Lord Jesus. Amen.